Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. Our God is awesome. Our God is good. Our God is wonderful. And we love Him with all of our hearts. Don't we? We truly love the Lord, don't we? God is super, super awesome. I love my God. And I fall in love with Him every single day. And man, I wouldn't have it any other way. If you're not falling in love with your God every single day, please, I say this humbly, search yourself, seek, find out what's going on, because that's important. If it's important for us to always be in oneness with our wives, right? Always be sort of like in love, that twinkly factor, you know, that. If it's important for your wife, and I'm hoping it's important for the husbands too, it's equally, if not more important, for us to always be falling in love with the Lord our God. I've been saying this for a little while now, and I love my Lord, and I'm thoroughly enjoying this walk that is almost like it's rejuvenated every single day. I love it. My God is awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center here in Randallstown, Maryland. I've been saying this for a while and I'm going to continue saying it. If you happen to be in the area, if you're driving by, or, you know, if it's possible for you to come by and worship with us, come on. Come and worship. I'm very thankful, I'm very grateful that we have people that come here from ways away, you know, 45 minutes away, 40 minutes away. There are congregants here that travel an hour, you know, one way, and they do that twice a week to come and worship, and they are, I know them, not on a personal level, but I know them very well to say that they are being blessed, you know, physically blessed, and spiritually blessed. There's something in the air around here. There's something in this house. I know it's, I've been saying it for a while, you know, here. But if it's possible, this is why I say, if it's possible for you to come by and come and worship with us, come on. Come as you are, just as you are. If you want to wear a mask or not, that's perfectly fine. And I equally want to take the time right now to say thank you so much for tuning in. I do know that people from out of state watch this program. I also do know that there's a gentleman from Nigeria that a couple of weeks ago called in and mentioned that he very much enjoys our live stream. Nigeria called in and asked for prayer, you know, from us. Praise the Lord. You know, when we pray over folks and when we minister over people, that's not live streamed, you know. They don't get to see this per se. So we give the Lord and all the glory and all the honor. And very thankful for the opportunity that we have to minister. And if it's possible for you to come by, come and worship with us. You know, come and enjoy God's presence. I do know that God's presence does visit you at your home. So equally, thank you so much for tuning in. Amen? Amen. We're going to dive into the Word of God this evening. My scripture list is not tremendously long. And before we go into the Word of the Lord, let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we always say, we love You. We love You so much. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence here in Your house. Equally, Lord, thank You so much that You visit those who watch this online. Thank You, Lord, so much. Thank You, Lord, the opportunity that we have, all of us here, we have to share the Word of God and minister the Word of God to people who need to be ministered to. Thank You, Lord, for these opportunities that we have. May we take advantage of them, Lord, of the knowledge that we receive, of the things that the Spirit, Lord, shares to us. Everything, Lord, that You've given us, our abilities, our gifts, our talents. Thank You, Lord. They all come from You. May we use it, Lord, for the honor and glory of Your name. And Lord, as we partake of the message of the Word for this evening, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would open up the minds of everyone who is watching and also everyone who's here. Be glorified, Lord, this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. My first verse here this evening comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 7. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles there. Oh, we already have it up. Genesis 4, 7 says this. I've preached about this a couple of months ago, Sunday morning. If you do well, will you not be accepted? We know who the Lord is talking to right here. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it, or depending on the translation you're reading, you shall rule over it. Amen. We know when this is taking place, yes? We know the dialogue between the two people here in this verse. That is God and who else? Cain. That's right. And here, the main subject here is the subject of sin. The Lord says, if you do well, if you do good, if you do what you're supposed to do, you will be accepted. I will be with you. However, there's something lurking around. You must watch. You must be careful. You must rule over it, over sin. And it's very, very clear that sin is marked as mankind's number one enemy. All of mankind. And it must be defeated to God's satisfaction in order for Him to accept us. And if not, our relationship is compromised with our God. We know this. Sin separates us and the Lord. This is the barrier that we have, unfortunately, ever since Adam and Eve fell. And because sin is an ever-present reality every single day of our lives, it is essential that we have sufficient knowledge. Sufficient knowledge to recognize it before its fiery darts strike us down. This is why our Lord says that you must rule over it. If you don't do well, sin lies at the door, knocking. You must rule over it. So we must have knowledge. And this knowledge requires constant study of the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying, researching. Real life effort. This will build real life effort in the awareness of present sin that's around you. You're going to be sensitive to that type of stuff. You know? You sort of want to, let's just say, beat it to the punch. Do you understand that analogy? Yes? We've all heard it before, beat it to the punch. Right. You want to be proactive. When we walk with the Lord, when we have a particular type of relationship with God, our spiritual senses are heightened. Maybe you might have experienced this at some point or another where you might have been driving through somewhere and all of a sudden the air just felt heavy. Or you felt something like inside of you that just didn't feel right. Some people call it the hibby-jibbies, right? You're being sensitive to something that's around. Oftentimes, that's places where witchcraft is being practiced, or that's places where a lot of bad things happen. You know, murders and crimes and thefts, prostitution, a variety of things, they all call upon a specific principality that hovers over a particular region. There has been times when my father was alive, we would be in the car and he would not particularly like driving into the city, because right when we get around the beltway into the interstate there, I-83, and we cross Northern Parkway, it's like right there, it never fails. You go past Northern Parkway and he's like, I don't like this. Man. From time to time, I've felt, you know, what he felt. That is an awareness that you develop. The closer we get to the Lord and the further away we separate ourselves from earthly things, the more your senses are heightened up. And therefore, we need knowledge. And we also need knowledge to overcome sin. And overcoming sin sometimes could be a daunting task. To some people, it could be an intimidating task, because they might have been doing something and going through these motions and been so much used to doing something for so long that maybe they can't break away from it. For example, when your body is physically dependent on narcotics, on nicotine, I mean, you name it, drugs. But I'm here to say that overcoming is not hopeless. It is not impossible. And one reason why it is not hopeless, and one reason why, when rightly thought through, when rightly done, when we do things according to the Word of God, and when we trust God, and when we have faith in His Word, that in itself, folks, is quite encouraging. And starting from that, you can overcome other things and other things. The next thing you know, you're going to be walking in the gifts. The Lord is going to be entrusting you with talents and gifts and so many other things. And this is where I want to focus my attention on this evening. These things that the Lord give you to use for the honor and glory of God. We've all heard of the terminology, too much is given, much is required, right? Our Lord said this. May I please have Luke chapter 12, verses 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Here in this verse, we are admonished to be alert, because our enemy, we started out by saying this in the beginning, knocks at the door. Our enemy is knocking at the door. It's part of my opening verse. He's constantly stalking us as we make through our way in life. And he particularly comes behind us, after us, I should say, when we're doing good. The Lord says, if you're doing good, you're going to be accepted. Also, if you're doing good, you're creating havoc in the dark places. So, let's make sense of this right now. We are also encouraged to understand that we, every single one of us, are judged individually. Every single one of us. And God judges everyone against the same standard. Yet he judges individually according to the talents that he has given you, that he has entrusted you with the gifts that you have. God is judging you according to your dedication to the work of the Lord. God is judging you with your faithfulness. Now you determine what the faithfulness might be, because that could be a lot of things. Faithfulness in your giving, faithfulness in your attendance, faithfulness in your works, in your voluntary works. There's so many things. God is going to judge you according to that also. The Lord is going to judge you according to your discipline, to the things of God. And here's one that's very dear to myself. And it's very dear when I see this on particular individuals too, when they sacrifice their time to the things of God. I say that the most important thing, the most precious thing that we have as human beings, the very, very, very most precious thing that we have as individuals is our time. What is more precious than your time? I've heard of millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires and gazillionaires who would give half of their fortune if they could only have another 24 hours of life. More time to live because they are sick, because they are dying. Nobody likes time wasted. They hate wasted time. Nobody likes when someone is taking advantage of your time. Time is extremely valuable. A lot of people say time is money. You will be judged by the time that we all sacrifice. The time that we gave to the Lord is one of the things we're going to be judged by. And also the energies that we have exerted to overcome challenges, overcome sin against what God knows we are capable of. And this is why I say we are all judged individually, every single one of them. He knows what we are all capable of doing. What I am capable of doing and how I am judged is completely different than every single one of you here and every single one of you right now watching online. We are all judged differently. We all have different schedules. We all have different capabilities. While one brother might be able to run a marathon, it was a 25-mile marathon, I might not be able to. The Lord knows that for sure, right? I don't know if I'd be able to do a quarter of a marathon. Anyway, we're all going to be judged differently. And we stand alone, not measured against one another. Let's understand that. Though the ultimate standard is the holy, righteous character of our Heavenly Father and His Son, we are not measured against our human performance against one another. In other words, what I'm trying to say, if this helps you understand, we're not in competition. We're not competing, right? Is that better understood? Yep. So, though not measured against the performance per se of the Father and the Son, we are nonetheless urged to strive to be in one with them. Why do I say that? Those two, the Father and the Son, I'm going to include the Holy Spirit. They are all completely in agreement with one another. 100%. And we ought to strive to be in agreement with them. It is this oneness that God brings to us. And also not merely intellectually, not just head knowledge, but also your attitude, also your conduct. speaking about oneness with our God. Our Lord God, He does not sin, does He? He doesn't sin at all. And imitating this sinlessness ultimately becomes our great life's challenge, is striving to be like Jesus, wanting to be like our Lord. Let me show you a verse right now. In the Old Testament, we're going to go to the Old Testament right now, to Amos chapter 1, verses 3, please. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. Do you understand this verse? I'm going to break it down briefly for you right here. Notice first that the Gentile nation are guilty of the same basic sins, and that is of gross and vicious cruelty of warfare. The first threat is against Damascus, the chief city or state, city-state of Syria. If you're wondering what Damascus is right now, it's Syria. The Syrians had fought against 2.5 tribes east of the Jordan, which east of the Jordan tribe right now is Gilead, and had apparently been extremely barbarous and cruel. Which, where do I get that? It is suggested right now when it says, implements of iron. Right there. And the punishment for the people of Syria was to be carried away to captivity to Kir. K-I-R. Kir. That was going to be their punishment for war crimes. All right? Now, why am I bringing this to your attention right now? We're talking about much is given, much is required, much is demanded from you. I've spoken about how we are all judged differently, one from another. I'm talking about a Gentile nation right now, in the times of Amos. In the sharp, sharp contrast of what we are reading right now, God charges Judah with commandment breaking. And what commandment specifically are we talking about? Lying. Israel's sins largely involve national and personal deceitfulness in social areas, in economic areas, in cultural circumstances. And the Lord sees it. And this is not to say that other nations didn't have the same type of characteristics. No, this is not what I'm trying to imply here. There's crimes in every single nation. There's corruption everywhere. There's corruptions here in the United States, down in Brazil, in Central America, out there in Europe. It's everywhere, right? This is not to say that other nations didn't have issues. However, there is one difference. The Israelites had the Word of God. And most especially, they had God's commandment. More generally, available to them than any other nation, over anybody else. And thus, have a very, very much less excuse to why they do what they do. Why are you lying? Why are you being deceitful? Why is there corruption among my people? You have these people over here committing war crime, doing whatever they think they think of, whatever they want to do. I'm going to deal with them. But why are you doing this? You have my laws. You have my statutes. They had no excuse. So, God holds them more accountable, the people of Israel, above any other nation. God holds them more accountable than anybody else that was surrounding Israel around that time. We're going to jump two chapters right now in Amos. Listen to Amos chapter 3, verses 2, what the Lord says. Amos 3, 2 says, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. You only, O Israel, have I known. This is implying to a relationship. This is implying to a connection. Out of all the families of the earth, in a different translation, it'll say nations, cultures, countries. It's you, Israel, the apple of my eye. I walk among you. I gave you my laws. I told you what to do and what not to do. Therefore, you're going to be punished for all the things of all of your trespasses because you know better. And this is why I say, as we find it in Luke 12, to whom much is given, much is required. God gave the people of Israel all they needed for a prosperous life, all they needed to be blessed, gave them everything that they needed in order for them to conquer. And they conquered. They conquered. Right? Especially under Joshua, Caleb, they conquered. They had every single thing to be blessed. And once upon a time, they decided to turn their backs on God. Back to now, Luke 12. I read earlier verses 48. I'd like to bring to your attention right now the previous verse, verses 47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. It's starting to get real. This is a real matter. In other words, the Israelites should know better. Or maybe I should say, they should have known better. They should have known better. Now, we're talking a lot about the Old Testament days and the Old Testament people. Let's bring it over to the New Testament now. Would you please bear with me now? I only have a couple of verses to go through here. May I please have Romans chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. And it says, you therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your own boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? It is very clear right now what the law is right now for the Apostle Paul and what he is referring to. In fact, the New Testament commentary, I read a lot of commentaries, what scholars have to say, researchers. The New Testament commentary admits that the law here is at the very, very least the Ten Commandments. Paul might be talking about the whole Pentateuch in which the Ten Commandments appear. But Paul has at least the Ten Commandments in mind right now when he goes down his list. And since God is impartial to judgment. Those in ignorance of the will of God will be judged according to what they know. Those who are privileged to know the law in Paul's time, meaning the Jews, or in our time, meaning you and I, us, every single one of us here, and those of you watching now, must never allow themselves to think that knowledge of the law will save them, because that will not. It's not just a simple knowledge of the law and a simple knowledge of the Bible. What it does is make them subjected to severe judgment because they know the law. They know the statutes of God. And this is why the more is given to you, the more is required. The more is demanded. But he who did not know yet commit these things deserving of stripes in Luke 12:48, the Bible says, shall be beaten. You're going to be beaten, but you're going to be beaten with just a few. Only just a little bit, right? And then he goes on to say, for everyone to whom much is given, that also includes knowledge, from him much is going to be required, and to whom much is committed, much will be asked. Of him they will ask the more, is what the Bible says, word by word. So, a simple knowledge of the word of God is simply not enough. Just you knowing cover to cover, just you knowing things does not excuse you. We must act on it. We must practice our faith. We must be proactive, because we are being judged by our time, our efforts, our talents. My final verse here, we're going to go back to verses 48 of Luke 12. It says this. This is going to be my closing verse. May I have Luke 12:48, please? But he who did not know yet commits things deserving of stripes shall be beaten just a little bit with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Folks, those who have the law, I want you to walk away thinking of this. I don't want to exactly end it on a sad note or on a bad note. I want you to know this. You have a tremendous advantage over those who do not have. Such a tremendous advantage. I was having a conversation with someone. I won't mention who he is. But he asked me a question that I got super excited to answer, because no one's ever asked me that question before, but I've been thinking about this topic for a very long time. And that is this. I consider myself extremely fortunate of knowing the true God. Serving the true God. Oh man, it's beyond belief. Why do I say that? Because in my lifetime, I've been exposed for several years to the Hindus. When I was a child, elementary school age, we were living in a Hindu nation as missionaries. Yes, we established a church in a country where the national religion, you might as well consider it being Hinduism. Among other places that we have traveled and people that we have come across and nations, etc. And I think about from time to time my life in comparison to people that I've come across. There are people that we have witnessed to that are convinced, without a shadow of the doubt, that what they're doing is right. They give it 100%, 100% of their times and their efforts and their dedication. They fast profusely to a false god. And when you come and witness to them, man, they want to hit you with a stick, right? They're very standoffish. They fight it, you know, and then that's when the Holy Spirit needs to come in, you know, and do what he does. But you come across people who are in their 40s and their 50s and their 60s and their 70s who have been in this religion, in this belief system, and they truly, truly, truly believe wholeheartedly in what they believe. And here we are coming in, trying to witness to them and trying to share the gospel. And I look at them, right? And then I look at myself. I see these people, and then I look at me, Teddy Santos. And I just look up and I say, Lord, thank you that I am one of the chosen to share your word, to preach the gospel, to teach, to minister. That I know where I'm going to be when this life is over. Whether the Lord takes me in the rapture or whether he takes me another form of way before the rapture. Right? I am so thankful that I know the one and true God. And I will hope that you will feel the same. Amen? I can't see you online right now. I hope you would feel the same too. But just understand one thing, that we have a tremendous advantage over everybody who does not know God, or everyone who don't know the Bible, like you know the Bible, that's fed how you are fed with the Word of God. Amen. So, that is a privilege that God has not given every single person who does not yet know God's ways, the laws of the Lord. Consider yourself extremely privileged. Extremely privileged. I want to ask one thing right now. I think right now is an appropriate time for me to give an invitation for anyone to give their life to Jesus right now. I always ask for people to close your eyes because sometimes, if you don't mind doing that right now, real quick, sometimes these things, people are embarrassed, they are ashamed. Sometimes, you know, the enemy tries to play mind games, and then they might think, well, I don't want people looking at me. I don't want them thinking something different. They probably thought this and thought that. So don't let this hinder you. And this is why everyone right now, please keep your eyes closed. Is there anyone here that wishes to give their life to Jesus? Everyone has their eyes closed right now. Praise God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this privilege that we have in knowing you. Thank you so much, Lord, that you've saved us. Thank you, Lord, that our names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins, for healing me, Lord, in the process, for making me, Lord, an overcomer, for making me, Lord, prosperous, Lord, in you. Thank you for the victory. Lord, I am nothing without you. We are nothing, Lord, without you. And I pray, Lord, for those that's watching this online right now, if in case, Lord, they haven't taken the time to proclaim that you are God, that you are Lord of Lords, and ask you, Lord, to come into their hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you will place this conviction in their hearts for them to do the right thing. And that right thing, Lord, is to serve you, to worship you, because you want all of us to be with you, Lord, one day, Lord, in heaven, right next to you, with all the saints, with all those, Lord, who have gone to be with you, Lord, before us, for eternity, forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, that I have something to look forward to, Lord, beyond this life. Also, Lord, thank you for the opportunity that I have to minister the word, to share the word. Thank you, Lord, that I'm surrounded with people who love you, who want to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for their zeal, for their commitment. And even those, Lord, that's not here right now, also those that's watching this right now online. We bless your name, Lord, for their lives also. Lord, we love you, as we always say, and we will always love you for as long as we live. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.